Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective... David, I'm not going to say any more right now, but I want to talk about a specific subject today, and it involves a couple of terms, so... If it's okay with you, right up front, I want to ask you a multiple choice question, okay?
I'm with it, yep.
At Sermon Coach, we are proponents of A, transformative sermons, B, informative sermons, C, both transformative and informative sermons.
And there's no D, huh?
No D.
Okay. I would say C. I would hope that our sermons were informative, that they inform people as to the ways of God. So that's important to me, and that they help them understand God's word. But I would hope that it wouldn't end there. I would want them to be informational, but also transformational. I would like people's lives to be affected by what they hear, so that the truth of God, which is usually quite different than the truths we have been raised with in just, say, secular America, would impact people's lives, and they would not be the same having heard what has been preached from God's word. So information is very important. It needs to be accurate, needs to be biblical. When people say, are you a biblical preacher? I say, you're exactly right. That's probably huge to me that I'm preaching what Scripture teaches. But I'm also transformational in the sense that I'm trying to get people from point A to point B in terms of the truth of that sermon. I want them to not only understand what is being taught, but I want that to become a part of their lives. So informational, transformational. Probably in terms of what I talk more about transformational than informational. So it's kind of a good multiple choice question. I want it to be both, okay? And what I think is happening in the country is we're getting a lot of informational sermons, but not necessarily sermons that transform people to the image of Christ. And that transformational side is the side that I tend to emphasize more.
One of the things about the Sermon Coach method of sermon development is that it drives transformational sermons. Mm-hmm. And the key element there is, what is the expected response? We have the informational aspect of choosing a subject and developing a premise or a subject and fleshing that out for people. And out of that, they get information. But then we take a turn and we say, this is how the Scripture is calling you to respond to what it's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes the informational sermon and makes it potentially, at least, transformational.
So I have figured out now from your comment that the correct answer was C, both informational and transformational.
Which is what you said, so you were right on target.
Okay, I put my hanky away and quit mopping my brow here.
Now, a key to all of the effectiveness of that combination informative and transformative sermon is that we give not only the subject and response, but we also suggest how people can do that through the how-tos.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And then we add a fourth question there as well, which is, if you do what I'm suggesting, here is what I would say is probably the timeline involved. You're not going to be able to resolve this in a matter of a week, but probably if we're talking a month or two, maybe you should begin to see this change starting to take place in your life. It's hard to generalize because different responses will have a different time element involved. But anyway, we're trying to help people get an understanding of what's involved time-wise.
And of course, I like to wrap the whole package of the four questions up with a ribbon that I call the key biblical truth statement, an expression of the subject and response in a sentence, a single sentence, that gives the congregation a memory hook that they can latch onto and remember what the sermon was all about.
And I say, Dean, usually you put those into the framework of early on sermon preparation. I almost never work on anything prior to saying, okay, here's the text or here's the subject I'm interested in. Now, let me get on paper what the actual subject is I'm working with. What is the response that is biblical? And once I write those down, and then I write down the how-tos, and those will change as the sermon is worked on. But at least I get an idea of where I'm going. How did I get to this place in my life? Or what do I have to do yet to get to this place in my life? And what about my friends? Where do they fit on this how-to thing? And then the how long? I write those down, and once I have those down, I feel like I got a good handle on where I'm going. And a lot of times, because my life is interrupted a great deal, once I have it on paper and I begin writing, like I have a sermon now where I've written probably the first, 12 minutes of it. But when I go back to it, I'll have no problem whatsoever remembering where I was and where I stopped, because I know what my subject is, what the response is, where I was in what I was writing on. I pick it up just like it was yesterday. It's not hard because those key elements are locked in, if you please.
Okay. Now, I told you I had two terms I wanted to talk about.
You already did, yeah.
The first was the transformative and the informative.
Oh, they're both part of the first one.
They're all part of the first one. I'm not going to let you off the hook that easily.
Okay, cool.
I've got you here in the chair. I'm going to get my questions answered. Okay, here's my second term I want you to react to and talk about. Targeted worship. Targeted worship.
Okay, that means you're not just talking about general worship, but you're targeting a specific aspect of worship. And in my mind, that's talking about a specific attribute of God. You're saying there are many things we could tell God we like about him, but this morning in our service, we are going to tell him that we like this specific aspect of who you are. We think it's wonderful that you are as wise as you are. There are all kinds of voices in today's world, but if I want the voice of wisdom, that's going to come from the Lord. If I look at Jesus as a 30-year-old, he had to be the Son of God because no one was as wise as he was at 30 years old. I know what I was like when I was 30. And you probably have a good impression of what you were like when you were 30. And we didn't even approach in the slightest ways the incredible wisdom of Jesus as a 30-year-old, you know, in terms of his wisdom and personal relationships, his wisdom in terms of the world, his wisdom in terms of how he dealt with the huge problems of the Roman Empire and the Jewish apostasy and all that. I mean, he was amazing, just who he was. So we state specifically, God, I praise you that you are wise. So that's targeted worship. If I say, I praise you, God, that you are love. I praise you that you are holy. I praise you that you are creative. I praise you that you are all powerful. We can name all these different attributes, and they're almost limitless things that we get. But it's targeted rather than just scatter shooting everywhere. We're going to target what the worship is, and we're going to connect that targeted worship with what's being preached in the sermon. So if this is what the sermon is about, that should mean that probably here would be a good worship theme. You know, and it could be four or five different aspects. We know it could be one of those, but it's not going to be this one because that doesn't seem to relate to the sermon that much. So the service is built around this targeted worship, meaning we're talking not about God but to God. And we're telling God, this is what we find especially appreciative about you. We really like this regarding you, God. And we may do that in many different ways. And sometimes it's in music. Probably always music is a part of the service. It's such a huge part of the church. And it doesn't mean that all music is worship music. I mean, you can have testimony music. You can have challenging music. You can have response music. You can have world missions music, you know, all kinds of music. But at least if it's in the worship time, it ought to be addressed to God, and it probably is telling him what we like about him or praising him, adoring him for what we know him to be.
Let me ask you a question then about a specific passage, if I may.
Okay.
Back at Advent, first Sunday in Advent this past year, December 1st, 2013, the text was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a son is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, the preachers preaching for the 4 weeks of Advent, each were taking one of those, and so I preached first, and I took Wonderful Counselor. As you look at that passage, and particularly the Wonderful Counselor, how would you construct a theme for that worship service? What attribute of God would you focus in on?
Well, I think you've already said it. I think I would praise God as a wonderful counselor. What does that mean? It means this is someone who is great at giving counsel. Mm-hmm. So you have the wise aspect again. But I think if that's what your specific words are, I can say to God, I praise you as a wonderful counselor. You have counseled me in my life in a phenomenal way. I've gone to you for wisdom. You have taught me so much. I mean, the truth is I really didn't have it put together very well. But because of you, God, more than any other aspect of my life, I am who I am, and I'm becoming who you want me to become. And so as a wonderful counselor, that's great. Now, if I'm going to take it a step further and say, how do I put that in a service? If you have in the congregation somebody who is a respected counselor, I would have that person give the morning prayer. And then the person says, some people think I'm a very good counselor, and hopefully I've helped many people. But when it comes to really who is good at it, I don't even hold a candle to you, God. So that would be one person. Another part of that, and I'm just talking off the top of my head, would be someone who everyone knows has been going to a counselor because of whatever in the life. Maybe something tragic happened. Maybe there was a loss of the family in a fire or something. And then they've been going and they've received counsel. And so that person begins the prayer. Lord, I've had people who are human counselors, and I'm very grateful for them. And they have taught me a lot. They're wiser than I am because that's their specialty. And I say, in my case, it's even better because they are Christian counselors. But behind all these counselors are you. You're the most incredible of all counselors. And as they have taught me, you have taught me. You have not been standoffish. You are a great listener. You have heard me complain and all the rest, but then you have also shown me parts in your word that are incredibly helpful. Well, you know people are listening, and they're identifying because they know the life of this person to a degree. In fact, the person could even review a little for those people who are visitors. But that, to me, pulls that theme alive. And so instead of just a normal person praying who whatever, you don't know, you have somebody who identifies keenly with that given topic that you're using. It's possible because I can't think of a song. I guess there may be Christmas songs that talk about God as a wonderful counselor. I don't know congregational hymns that do that. But again, I'm not a music person. And a music person saying to that person in charge of the music, we want to zero in on this theme, wonderful counselor, what can you find? And if that person has 2 or 3 weeks lead time, they can come up with incredible music. Maybe it's scripture music from the very passage that you were talking about, that the congregation sings or listens to the choir sing. And because you don't want to assume people are all that wise and they've spent as much time in the service planning as you have, you say, our choir number this morning is from Isaiah, you know, and it's going to talk about a wonderful counselor. And that theme is going to be carried over when we come to the sermon. So make the connection in your mind. So you're just helping people in terms of their worship. A call to worship. I'm trying to think of a call to worship that would be an idea. A best-selling book today is such and such, such and such. I can't think of one just off the top of my head. But it's a book that is counsel for people who have gone through such and such. One of the things I liked about that book is, and then you read a short paragraph. Today we're going to go through another passage from a book. The book is called The Bible, and it is about the wonderful counselor, unlike any other. You know, anyway, you're just setting up ways that you can put that service together so that people get the targeted aspect of it. Am I helping? Mm-hmm. Got the idea?
Exactly. I wanted to have you go through that so people could see some of the thought process. And immediately, as you thought through it in your mind, you went to the various elements of the service and how would that fit in?
They're just thought patterns that are helpful. We went back to the passage in the Sermon on the Mount, living in obedience to Christ's teachings results in stability during life's storm. And we wanted to talk in terms of what attribute of God. And so we talk about God being a great rock, or he's our protector, or he's our stability. And so instead of doing the prayer, I was thinking, who do you have read the scriptures? And I would go further than what I'm going to say. You could have a policeman read the scripture. And so the policeman says, in today's world, probably the police force represents security, and that's probably why Pastor asked me to read the scriptures this morning, and the police is in his policeman's outfit. Or you could have somebody, you know, who's a football player, maybe a high school kid who's a football player, and say, I was asked to read the scripture today because we're praising Christ as our protector, and that's why I'm in this football outfit, because I know what it's like to try to protect someone. And it's not an easy thing to do, but God has promised to be our great protector if we fulfill our part and live in accordance with his teaching and so on. You know, somebody reading scripture is one thing. It's been kind of, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, and a lot of people tune out. But if a kid in a high school football outfit comes up and says, I've been asked to read scripture because, and shares that he plays the role of lineman protecting the backfield or the quarterback, everybody's listening. And when he reads that scripture, even though he's not as polished as a person who's normally giving sermons, everyone will listen to it because you've just, through a sermon element, made it come alive for people. So what we're trying to do in all those, when I was using the term targeted worship, is saying, how do we target where we want people's minds to go so that they appreciate the incredible many facets of who God is? So yeah, what do we start with? We started with transformational, informational. Should be inspirational too as well. And now we're talking about targeted worship and how all those things fit together. So yeah, I got it all in my mind. It worked.
Indeed it does. Targeted worship is a great way to prepare people for transformational preaching. How about that? It all works together into a package.
I'm putting my thumbs up on that one.
Targeted worship is a great way to prepare people for transformational preaching. We thank you for joining us again for our time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.